Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Hey, yo.
Break for break, get down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast where we break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the potty mouth of the South.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the actual factual.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
We're still here.
Yes, indeed.
We're still here.
Bruv, we're here. We're here. Feet under the table. We're doing bits. The kings are back. We're back.
The kings are. Wow.
Yes.
I love when you get into this bag because I feel like I should do it because it's the rapper in me, even though I'm not a rapper. But I feel like I should do it. But I have no interest in claiming any throne because I was born a king. You see, I don't need to chase a throne.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying?
You're born a king and that. All right, cool.
You know what I mean?
I'm
like
sorry.
When Apache Indian, them man said Don Raja, he was talking about me.
Okay,
God damn it, me.
You can have that. But sometimes you just have to assert your authority out here, innit? People forget.
Okay. Are you still angry at like the podcast, the hip hop Twitter podcast crap?
Oh yeah, man, I'm the OG. Okay. Look, you see the grey beard and what, bruv? I'm like uncle. I'm uncle, innit? So I have to sometimes like.
But you're not Uncle Ruckus.
What's the word?
You're not Uncle Ruckus though, right?
No, never that. But we got guests.
I know. I'm sorry. I've been watching Boondocks lately. So a lot of Eat Dirt and Thugnificent are permeating
and Gax
in
Delicious.
My brain. A lot of it. And
Gax. Oh man. Listen, that cartoon right there is the one.
Well, absolutely. Look, well, like you said, we've got a guest. We must not hold him any longer. But our guest is a friend of the show, talented musician, and he's a genius. I've said it on many occasions. At some point, I think I'm stalking him, but he's a genius. He's a well-executed genius. He's not like an evil villain genius. He executes things like, you know, he's not Mr. Burns, you know, excellent genius. He's just a genius.
Yeah.
Like he's
Take
like
it.
Cool
Take
genius
it.
Rap genius, you know?
That's true. Jizz a genius.
Jizz a genius. And he's also a well-loved member. Yes. And he's also a well-loved member of the hip-hop community. He, you know, launched a couple of successful podcasts, Carnal the Shuffle, Questions Hip-Hop, and the latter has now become a game. And for those on YouTube, you can smash the like button because Chris loves me to say that. Yes, it's a hip-hop trivia game that has been done with our guest and Penguin Random House. At this point, he's got a game. At this point, I'm just waiting for the Nas Mass Appeal documentary on this guy. That's all that's left, I think. But we are talking to none other than Sean Kantrowitz. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I don't know, it could go either way how the video is going to be edited on this. If like you're going to have me on screen for all of that, where I'm just sort of like watching, doing like hand symbols or but it might be kind of awkward because I just was sort of staring ahead a lot. But nonetheless, this is me thinking with my producer hat on, and I need to take that off right now because right now I'm just talking with my guys. I'm so thrilled to be back on Breaking Atoms. I'm so glad that you guys are back. Like this is neck and neck with when A Tribe Called Quest reunited after such a long break. It felt like just as long, if not longer. And you know, it's the Breaking Atoms boys. You know, they got it from here. Thank you for your service back in the building. I listened to your first episode back. Cool to hear the developments and the glow ups that you guys have individually and collectively been going through. And I'm just happy to be back.
I appreciate you, man. You're always
That's
welcome.
That's very nice of you.
I mean, Chris will probably invite you to Harsden and stuff like that. I'll just go, you're welcome. That's it.
Now, when Sean touches down in the UK, me and Sean going out, we're going, That's how they say in the UK, when you're going out properly, like all-nighter, we're going, Me and you, Sean.
It's like the baby way of something, yeah?
Got it.
Yes. But no, you're here. Listen, congratulations on the game. Let's do the standard interview question. Let's do all that and then we get to the fun stuff, right?
Okay.
So for those who are new to the podcast and new to Questions Hip Hop, new to yourself, run through the game itself, break down the segments, and how we got to this point here.
Yeah, sure. So the Questions Hip Hop Trivia started as a live event in Los Angeles in 2018-ish. It was something that myself and DJ Steve Wonder and DJ Spider, two LA DJs and great music heads, we sort of devised and were throwing together. And I, as the host and the primary writer of the game, we started doing live events in LA. We were starting to get booked and interest to take the show to other parts of America. We had our first show booked in Brooklyn, New York for March 20th of 2020. We had to cancel. There was a little known virus that was seemingly, hating on the Questions development, but we pivoted and we turned it into a live stream game on Instagram Live and later Twitch. And that sort of opened the doors for us to involve a lot more people from other parts of the country and the world, turn that into a podcast. And then the game itself was adapted and was just published as a 300 card game through Penguin Random House. And it sort of is something that appeals, I think, to everybody. It's for casual fans who maybe have a more distant relationship with the music and culture, and then the absolute, brainiac hip hop liner note nerds, who most of whom have their own hip hop podcast. And I've got love for all of them, this is the community. This is the squad. We're all sort of, if we're not in the Wu-Tang clan together, we're in the Sons of Man, Killer Army sort of extended podcast fam, conglomerate, as it were. And yeah, the game is available everywhere where you get games and books, and it's available to order online. And yeah, this 2023, I think, is, we're off to a really good start. And I think there's a few more things that we'll be announcing soon that will continue the expansion and the growth of the game. That was me addressing the history of the game. I don't know if you wanted me to get more into the
game
the
itself.
Breakdown.
Yeah, let's get into the game itself. Yeah.
Got it. Sorry, I totally maybe buried the lead there. So the game itself, yes. Man, do we have a game itself here. 8 categories, sort of dealing with all sorts of different aspects of the music and culture of hip-hop. We've got rounds and categories about the samples, the lyrics, the collaborations, the business moves, and sort of cultural milestones, the ways in which hip-hop and its artists and practitioners have indoctrinated themselves into pop culture and Hollywood. It's just, honestly, it's, to me, just like, for people who love rap music and also love comedy and love, sort of like just looking at the funny, interesting parts of life itself, and then the ways in which like this culture is so amazing and celebrating it in its 50th birthday year. It's something I'm really excited about, and it's been years in the making, and I'm just happy to finally have it, see its release.
Okay, so
like
I guess
you mentioned
go on.
So I was gonna say
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, so you've aimed at casual fans, nerdy fans, like you've gone across the spectrum. Like, what was the process in terms of making sure that you covered all these different people? And like, was there a kind of like a question elimination process, like, no, that's too deep, that goes over here? Or how do you arrange that logistically?
The folks, my editor at Penguin Random House, they were totally agreeable and very open to anything that I wanted to do, which I was very appreciative of. And didn't really have any pushback or anything there. So for me, I was sitting on a lot of questions, having done, many games in the live space, many games for the IG Live version and the podcast version of the game. So there was a fairly good database of questions that already existed, but it was important to me to present something that also provided something new for all of the listeners and the audience who have been with us along the way. So there's a lot of exclusive things that exist only in this game. And as far as like, maintaining the balance and the diversity of how challenging the questions were and the subject matter, I just sort of used a lot of Google spreadsheets, shout out to Google, to track and sort of see what made sense where. Obviously, even in trying to cater to all audiences, there's just some things that are going to be favored more than others. I've said, there's more Jay-Z questions than J-Live questions in the game, but that feels appropriate, but they are both in there, So I definitely wanted to make sure that we were sort of covering all the different bases of what's there and not, you know, we all have our blind spots in terms of the stuff that we know and maybe the stuff that we listen to. But I definitely tried to make sure that this wasn't just a Sean's favorite hip hop artists and albums, you know, type of situation.
Yeah, because it might end up being 100 questions about MERS or something, and people be like, all right, okay, enough.
Absolutely. Or like Sean Kantrowitz presents The Roots, you know, 300. I could probably make like a Roots factoid calendar where like every day, like here's something else about The Roots that you didn't ask about, but Sean wants you to know.
So talk to us about the designers, sticking with the game. I want you to shout the designers. That's very important. Talk to about who you worked with, and how they were involved, how you were both involved in the conception of the packaging in particular, and the card.
Yeah, so the packaging, you know, that was definitely something that I knew was going to be important. It was something that I knew what I didn't want. I had talks with the publisher about, hey, no graffiti. I don't want the graffiti artwork. I don't want a breakdancer doing a head spin on the cover. These are all things that obviously speak to, you know, hip hop culture, and the imagery makes sense. But I feel like there are certain things that have become tropes, perhaps. So, you know, I really wanted this. I think the game itself and the design of it sort of speaks as a tribute to the record store. The record store was extremely important to me and to all of us. I spent years working in a record store, and I presented a list of designers and artists that I thought could be good for this, and Random House also did, and the one name that was on both of our lists was Frank William Miller Jr., FWMJ. He is somebody that I've known for a long time. He's somebody who, you know, I first sort of encountered in the days of OK Player on the message boards. He's done artwork for Little Brother and Foreign Exchange and A Tribe Called Quest. And it just totally made sense. I knew Frank would get it. I knew he'd be easy to work with. And he totally knocked it out the park with the overall package design, as well as some of the category designs. And then we also have other artwork in some of the other categories by some amazing talent. We have Two Fly, Edgar Garcia, and Jamar Cave. And it was really cool to sort of see this come together. And I'm not a guy who has a very strong design aesthetic, to be honest. Like I'm not a very visual person, you know, if you look at my wardrobe, or if you look at any time I've been given the reign to decorate a home or a room, could use work, a work in progress, we'll say. So it was definitely a challenging thing for me, but cool to sort of be able to weigh in and work with people that were open to any notes that I had, and also were able to sort of help lead me in a direction, because you got to know where your strong suits are, where your weaknesses are. And, you know, I'm not the biggest design aesthetic guy, but I'm really happy with how this turned out. I think that they all killed it. They knocked it out the park.
Was that the biggest challenge for you? What was the biggest challenge in putting this together?
Yeah, I would say that was the biggest challenge. That when you have really talented people and a really great infrastructure like Penguin Random House and Clarkson Potter, the subsidiary that this was published through, saying, hey, what do you want? And you're like, shit, what do I want? You know, like what? There's so many different ways that it could go. And yeah, like that was challenging. But like I said, having such talented and just easy to communicate with people in my corner made it, if that was the most challenging part, it was pretty pleasant and smooth to go through that.
Light work. Chris.
I was going to say, like, how did this whole thing start, in the sense of, did you approach Penguin Random House, sorry, and say, look, I've got this idea. Did they come to you? Like, I've been sitting there thinking, like, yeah, you know, shopping a record is one thing, right? You can speak to a label and all that. How do you get a board game, Sean? Like, this doesn't happen every day, man. Like, how did this conversation start, and what was it like?
Yeah. I have to give all credit to former guest of your show and former guest of my show, Kathy Yandley. Yeah, Billy, right? Are we editing this?
You're good. Yeah. Cool.
I mispronounced the name on another show, and I, as somebody who has a very mispronounceable last name myself, I felt like immensely guilty about not getting it right. So, clean edit. Kathy Yandley definitely was a pivotal force in this for me. She is somebody who has a lot of experience in the publishing game, and I had actually approached her in late 2020 because I had an idea about self-publishing a book version of Can't Knock the Shuffle, my other podcast. And she answered my questions, and she was very, you know, patient and very generous with her knowledge. But after she did, she said, hey, two things to consider. One, why are you trying to self-publish? Which, you know, made me do some soul searching as the fiercely DIY musician background, me yeah. against the world. I got to do everything myself. And then she also said, Can't Knock the Shuffle is a great property. It's a great idea. But you also have this other thing that is a game. Maybe you should explore this. And so I took it to heart and thought about it. And she was very instrumental in showing me and teaching me how to put together a pitch, you know, like a pitch for something like this, and was able to help connect some dots for me to be able to have a meeting and sort of present this. And I think that the timing was just great. I wasn't, I think, fully aware at the time that Hip Hop 50 was coming around the corner, but it sort of, it timed out well that I had sort of been developing something that it's a good time for publishers to be doing this. I mean, all praises to the publishers and the publishing world for latching onto this. I think that beyond just being a good idea, there are more logistical reasons why it makes sense for something like this now, because I think we're going to be seeing a lot of things in the next year about hip hop in a way that hasn't been covered before.
Yeah, you're right. I bought a can opener about a year ago, Sean. Do you know what it said on the can opener? Can I kick it?
What? Well, that's interesting because the original pitch for this thing was going to be a series of can openers. And right. They said, you know, we need to maybe broaden it a little bit. Like maybe a trivia game doesn't work so well as a can opener. And that was probably one of the most tensest moments that we had in terms of discussion. But I ultimately deferred to them. And I think this works better as a card game than a can opener.
It just made me think. I'm like, I bought a can opener with a Tribe Called Quest reference on it. I'm like, okay, hip hop in the home is going to become a thing. Like a can opener, why is a Tribe Called Quest on this can opener? And it made me think that you're going to see a lot more of this. And I just think it's really cool how you've made hip hop a part of the home family experience outside of just listening to music or watching documentaries. It's just something everyone can get into. And I think that's really dope.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason why you have a Tribe Called Quest can openers and other things like that is that we have reached this point where hip hop is so ingrained into our lives. And a lot of the people that are in the boardroom now and making decisions about things and are parts of these big corporate brands, they were listening to a Tribe Called Quest at formative, you know, years in their life. It's funny because I've had conversations with my dad, who, by the way, is coming to the UK this summer. So I'm not going to be, but
we go
maybe you guys can go with my dad.
We got it.
Yeah. Clip that out.
That's coming in.
No. I mean, like, as a highlight, like that needs to be the clip promotes this episode. But you know, he'll often say things to me like, "Oh, well," he'll be talking, you know, pie in the sky things because he just is very excited and very supportive. He'll be like, "Oh, well, like." The audience for like Good Morning America, like probably not a lot of them are into hip hop. And I have to say, like, hey, you know, Dad, hip hop is turning 50 this year, 50 years old. So while he might be a little out of the age demographic, it's really like 50 and younger, or honestly, like 60 and younger, that could potentially be super fans of this because it's been around so long. And I think for all of us, myself included, I sometimes still think of this genre and this culture as being more niche. Huh. It's really not at this point. It is pop culture. Hip hop is like one. You know, we have The Roots on The Tonight Show. You know, we have all of these rappers who've become mainstream actors and hosts on television and brands. And it's just such an exciting time. And I'm really excited as a fan to see all of these things. Like you mentioned, the mass appeal documentaries that are coming out. It's amazing. We're going to see more movies about that, you know, more along the lines of like the Straight Outta Compton movies and things like that. It's such an exciting time to feel like this music that was so niche is now not, to the point that like Black Star on Saturday Night Live performing a Mad Lib produced song that isn't even a single. Like, what are we talking about here? It's such a crazy time.
It definitely is. I just want to remind people that, like Chris said, this is about bringing people into the home so you can play with your recommended hair, four or more players or one-on-ones. You're going to be causing a lot of, it's for the home, but I'm pretty sure this would be like Monopoly. You're going to be causing a lot of, you know, home wreckers. Have you insured yourself against things like that? Because I'm pretty sure people are going to be killing themselves over this. Not literally, obviously, you know, figuratively.
Right. No, well, we don't want any of that. Look, there's going to be high divorce rates. There's going to be turmoil. All things considered, it's going to be a generally more of a terrible time for humanity, but it's going to be a great time just for hip hop nerds and for trivia fans. So I think I still view it as a net positive. But yeah, there's going to be some brawls. There's going to be some throwdowns. There's going to be a lot of, you'll just have to stick around and see. But this is a pivotal point in the multiverse, I would say.
This is what I mean. This is where, you know, that fork in the road. In the Mass Appeal documentary for you, this is where this is. It's basically what happens next. But right. I think we should start playing some games.
I'm totally down
Let's do
that.
It. Should we play some Rap Life? This is one of the segments within the game.
I'm learning this on the fly, by the way. I have no idea what's in the box because I haven't opened mine yet.
I've opened my box, but I have not studied the answers. So
it's because I grew up with nothing, you see. So when I get anything that's new, I need to keep it because I don't know how long I have it. It's my trauma response.
Okay. I just want to remind you, this guy just launched a game sort about you right now.
It's true. I'm sorry, Sean. I'm sorry.
No. We can definitely put that in the expansion pack.
Trauma response.
There's going to be a trauma. Trauma responses, the whole category. We're all dealing with trauma here. So yeah, are we strictly going through Rap Life or we could do a few.
Let's do a few. Let's start with Rap Life and then we work our way through.
Okay, so I already know the answers to all these, so I think I'm going to present them to you, and we'll see how you guys do. So Rap Life is our category that's basically about the lives and the backgrounds of rappers. So here's your first question, gentlemen. Prior to becoming a professional recording artist, Ludacris worked as what? Was he a chef, a studio intern, a radio DJ, driver? Yes, Summit.
It was C, radio DJ.
Radio DJ is absolutely correct.
So hold on. You do the bing bing sound like I was just nodding my head when you said, so that's how we're doing it. We're doing the bing bing sound, yeah?
I mean, I bing, you bong, we can be bing bong, we can rizzer it out. It's entirely up to you.
We didn't really establish the rules there.
I'm sorry.
That's cool. It's cool. That's fine.
Can the next answer be Jason Derulo?
I'm trying to think. There is
another mispronounced surname.
It is in here
somewhere.
How's it pronounced?
It's Derulo, bro.
Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
But Jason Derulo. In his songs.
I don't know his songs. I'll go with what you're saying.
He's got great songs, man.
I was going to correct you, but I didn't know if this was like a cultural, like British, you know, American thing.
Oh, yeah. Root route.
I felt back. I was like, yeah, you know what? Let me just like hold my tongue and I'll let his mans kind of hop in if he needs to be correct.
And check him.
Yeah, it's Derulo. Get it right. All right. We've established that we haven't really firmed out how people are answering on this, but that's fine. I invite the chaos.
Yeah, I'll do the RZA thing. I'll do the bong.
I'm going to hop into a different category now. Another category that we have is Link and Built. And so the Link and Built category is all about the collaborations. Collaborations are such an important part of hip hop. So my next question number two, which of these rappers kicks things off on Marley Marl's classic Juice Crew posse cut, The Symphony? Is it A, Big Daddy Kane, B, Craig G, C, Cool G Rap, or D, Master
bong,
Ace?
Bong, 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 bong.
Oh, I forgot to say it, but I was pointing. You could see in the room. Come on, gong, gong.
Nah, it's all good, man. D, Master Ace.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct. Master Ace, former guest on The Questions, as well as legendary rapper in Juice Crew.
It wasn't Jason Derulo.
You can hear okay. What Summit's been listening to.
We're gonna hop now over to the Check the Rhyme category.
Yes,
Check the Rhyme is a category that's all about the lyrics that makes such a pivotal point in hip hop. So, in the song Regulate, Warren G describes getting robbed on the street. Which of these personal items does he mention getting taken from him? Was it A, his pager, B, his Rolex,
bong, bong, C, bong, bong, bong.
Was it his Rolex?
Chris.
Yeah, he said he took my rings, they took my Rolex. Yeah, right.
You're
Rolex.
Correct. They did take his Rolex.
Okay, I see. Lyrics, he's actual factual. That, you know, it's, you know, I need like a golf handicap thing, what they call it.
I love
it.
That song though, but like he made an anthem out of being robbed. Like, do you know how crazy that is
in this Nate culture? Dogg as well? Oh, yeah.
To make a classic about getting robbed, being a victim, come on, man.
Yeah, it's a vulnerability that we didn't see a lot of prior to and haven't really seen much of since.
Very true.
When he was on The Questions, Warren G was another guy who was on The Questions, and I did ask him, in the song, he mentions going from that scenario to going into freak mode just a couple bars later, and I sort of questioned, like, that seems rather soon to go from being, like, traumatically robbed to then going into freak mode. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? And he you know, laughed a little bit, but, you know, he reminded me that in this form of poetry that we deal with in hip-hop, it shouldn't be taken so literally. There was actually an interim of time in which he was able to recuperate from this robbery and then was able to slide into freak mode. Because I don't know how often you guys go into freak mode yourselves, but it's kind of a rough transition to go from victim of a robbery straight into freak mode, you know?
I mean, it's trauma not response. The first thing I think of, but it will be from now on.
That's a trauma response. Can I, you get robbed,
can I jump in? Before they answer the next question, I don't know what the answer will be to this, but you're in a good space. You obviously a very talented musician, got a good ear and eye for things. When you were doing The Questions live and also on IG and Twitch, at what point were you not starstruck, but at what point did you go, oh damn, I've really got something here? Which guest was it that made you go, oh, I'm onto something here? There's always that kind of light bulb moment. What was it for you?
For me, I would say it was the first week, honestly. We did the first week of doing the show on IG. We maybe got a little too ambitious, and we did 5 shows in a week. And it obviously was a pace that would have been insane to try to keep up. But in the first week, we had Mad Skills, Merce, we had Open Mike Eagle, and J.E. of Nelly fame. He produced the majority, I think all of Country Grammar.
Yeah,
and Epperson. Then we also had hip hop. Yeah, yeah. J.J. Epperson, exactly. And then we had a writer and a TV producer, Jensen Karp, who I'd worked with on a show before. And it was just kind of cool. I'll be honest. I think that, like, we definitely benefited from the fact that we had audiences sort of captive when we did this. It was a great time to be able to get, you know, later down the line, like Just Blaze or Bun B or all of these people. Those were definitely also highlights as well. But I think we kind of knew very early on that we were into something because it was met with such enthusiasm and sort of this, like, we could tell there was like a moment of giddiness. Even the first show that we did live in LA before the pandemic, Peanut Butter Wolf from Stone's Throw came because it was in his neighborhood. It was the venue we did it at, the speakeasy called Blind Barber. It was right next to the Stone's Throw office. And he came and he played the entire game. And he showed us at the end that he had been taking screenshots and sending them to a group chat on his phone called Rap Nerds or something. And we were looking at who was in this group chat, and it was Questlove and DJ Premier and Just Blaze and all of these people. And they all were like, what is this? We want to play. We want to do it. And so like even early on, I was like, okay, I think we've tapped a nerve here. And I was just very grateful and fortunate to be able to get a lot of those guys onto the show once we sort of moved it online. Still want to get Premier though. Premier is still at the top of my bucket list.
Premier, you have not had Premier yet, right?
Have not.
I okay. We'll me and Chris, between me and Chris, we'll apply some pressure to, because I just assumed you had Premier. We'll apply some pressure for Premier. Because that's fine. But what now leading on to that, just because I want to make a point now. I want to make a point, goddammit. The thing about what you just said was so great is that you had a bunch of these legends, people who have shaped, you know, the culture of hip-hop. I mean, Premier is, you know, he is hip-hop, essentially. He is the sound. I think of hip-hop, I think of Premier. The reason why they were so gravitated to it, because they enjoy that. They don't enjoy One Must Go. They don't enjoy Pick This. What they enjoy is testing their rap knowledge on things like that and having in competitive spirit. I think that's why what you've done and what you've been able to achieve is so great, because you've tapped into that. Everyone loves a quiz, and now you just a rap quiz, and you're getting co-signed by the best in the game. It's amazing. No one cares about Three Must Go.
No one cares. Quizzes get people open.
Sorry, but yeah.
Look, I get it, because we're living in the age of sort of having to be, whether we like it or not, content churners. There's such a demand to put out content all the time, and it's so ephemeral in that it's here and then it sort of disappears and you have to keep feeding the machine. And I mean, there have been moments, even, you know, where there was a time in which the question social media did lean more on doing multiple daily posts. And there were times where I did sort of bite the forbidden fruit of like, oh, what would you pick? What's your favorite song about? It's very easy. But you're right, it is stale and tiring. But I also get it, because we are living in an age where if you're trying to create something and create experiences or a product or sort of a culture, the demand for creating is impossibly high. And you're just being asked to do so much that I get it. But yeah, I'm totally with you. We got to do better. We got to figure out better ways.
I'm not
basically about it. But basically anything I do on social media when it relates to this, I always just picture Dart Adams and I think, is he going to approve of this or is he going to yell at me about this? And he's sort of been my own personal moral compass, I would say.
Yeah.
To decide whether or not what I'm thinking is a good idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Good compass.
We it was the same when we did our podcast series, like when we were doing like the edits and writing the script, I heard Dart in the back of my head, like I heard his voice. He says various things. I'm like, this cannot be wrong. Like, check, make calls, ask, but it cannot be wrong. No, it's because we respect him a lot as well. We don't ever want to upset or embarrass our OGs. You know, you're the same, Sean. I don't ever want to upset you, man. I need to be proud of me.
And before we get into the some more questions, I still want to do that plan I had of me, Chris, you, Kathy, and Dart. And I want to make it fun. Like, I really want to make it fun. Like, I did say, like, why don't we have, like, random, like, stupid Twitter, you know, posts being read out and us reacting to it. And Chris, like, no, people get angry. I'm like, actually, that's the fun in that. I want to bring a light side to all of us. Because then we all have
Dart Adams, bro? Come on, man.
No, but I think Dart would get in the spirit of things. I don't think Dart, like... me personally, and I don't know him very well, I think what people perceive Dart from his posts or tweets, or what people have this perception of him, I don't think he's always like that. I think he cares, he's passionate, and you need people like that to make sure that we are getting things right, right? So in the same way you both have gone, is a moral compass here, that's a good role that he is playing, because he was there, right? He was outside. But
outside,
Dart is like, I don't think Dart's like that 24/7. I think he might want to have a laugh. And I want to bring that light side to him. That might be ambitious of me.
You do it. You do it.
Dart is great. Dart is awesome. And look, yes, sign me up for that idea. I'm super down. When we all did the thing with Nate from Dadbod, when we did that Patreon thing. I just, look, all of these things are just excuses for me to talk about the stuff that I always want to talk about. Do you know how hard it is for me, and I'm sure for you, how many hours a day we have to navigate our lives not obsessively talking about things that no one else cares about as it relates to liner notes and hip hop? It's painful for me.
It's painful.
Doing podcasts or conversations like this are blips on the radar. But for me, this is when I'm poking my head out of the water. This is when I can breathe. And then when I get off here, I'm going to have to go back into the world and nobody cares about when a Gangstar album came out or what's happening with this sample flip or who flipped it first. Like, it's very annoying that I have to spend so much of my life not talking about this stuff. So any excuse that I can to talk about this, say less.
No, fair. I mean, look, before we jump into the call, I was putting together this brief for a doc, and I was like, I need an episode title, and it was in LA, so I went, Welcome to South Central. That's Welcome to South Central is the episode series. For episode two, that's the title for it. It permeates throughout us all when we care about the culture. We don't have to know everything, by the way. We just, you know, we love the culture. We enjoy every aspect of it and all aspects of it. But it permeates through us and comes out on us in different ways. So it's that. Let's get back to some questions. I want to get back to some. I love a quiz, man. Like, I love a quiz.
All right. So we're going to go into our digging in the crates round. This is all about samples and producers.
Oh, Chris is going to have this one. That's fine.
No, I'm not good with this stuff.
Speaking of our friend DJ Premier, here's a question about DJ Premier. DJ Premier has produced on albums by all of these non-hip-hop acts, except for this one. So I'm going to name you four different artists, and you have to tell me which non-hip-hop act he has not worked with. So is it Limp Bizkit, Christina Aguilera, Maroon 5, or BTS?
BTS.
Bun, bun, bun.
BTS is correct.
Yes.
He obviously has done the Method Man and Fred Durst. We all remember that. What do we feel about that now? Like, what do you guys feel about that song today?
I love Premier.
I like Premier too. I think him and Method Man need to do another one.
Yeah.
This is DJ Quick and Jay-Z again. DJ Quick and Jay-Z need to do another one. Yeah, Justify My Thug. Another one.
Fair.
We talked about this on one of my Making Illmatic episodes that we do on the questions, and we did a Black Album one. I fuck with Justify My Thug. I never had a problem with that song.
So have I missed something? That Chris doesn't like Justify My Thug?
No, it's not that I don't like it. This is DJ Quick and Jay-Z. This is DJ Quick
and
Jay-Z.
I understand.
Sean Carter. We need another one.
I understand. Sorry, Sean. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, I understand what you're saying there. Carry on, please. Justify my thug at this point. Go on.
Look, I'm always here to support and justify your thug summit. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, Chris. Like, maybe that wasn't the definitive. If we're only going to get one, and thus far we only have gotten one, maybe that's not the one that we need. The streets want more. You know, we want a little bit, maybe something that speaks more to what we imagine that sound would be. But I've always felt, I understand, but I feel like there is a general lack of compassion for Justify My Thug. It's not a bad song. It's just that it's not what we expected.
Yeah, it's not bad. I agree, but then I'm also Avenger, but I've started to say F Hove just so I can separate myself a little bit from the Avengers. But, you know, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. And then obviously, Premier worked with Christina Aguilera on her double album.
That was fire.
He did a remix for her. Yeah.
Christina Aguilera album was incredible.
Yeah. We didn't think we would be talking about that when we were on this podcast today.
Nope.
But
that Back in the Day song was crazy. Amazing album.
Yeah.
I should listen to it again.
I mean, what the world really needs is David Guetta and DJ Premier.
Now we're good. I don't want to speak for everyone, but we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Should we do some more questions?
Wait, hold on. Now we have to go down this rabbit hole. Do you guys remember, like in 2020 when he did that? I think it was David Guetta when he did that rooftop tribute.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to his family. It was one of the, I mean, it's just so painfully tone deaf. And I say shout out to his family all the time now. Like, it's just like such a, I mean, and I feel bad about it because, like, again, like, that was such a tragic and terrible time. But, like, holy shit, like, what a fucking bad call. What a bad call.
Listen, man, some people are really tone deaf, Sean. Like, some of the things I see people post and say, I'm just like, read. Now, you see, the fact, look what this guy's got, man. Look at this clown behavior.
I don't know why I have this.
Yes, you do. Why do you have that?
Come on,
it's either
my
wife's.
Tell the truth. Don't blame on her. Tell the truth.
No, I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of CDs I have in my possession that I used to just get a package from labels, right? So they would just send a big package, big brown paper bag, and just stuff CDs in there. And I think this might have been one of them. But the reason why I mentioned David Guetta today, because I found it.
No, hold on. We're going to debunk that right now. Flip that around and show me the UPC barcode. Show me the barcode. Is there a hole or a marker on the barcode?
Come on.
I don't know. Is
have
that,
they clicked
is
out
that
the spine? Have they clicked out the spine, bro? Come on.
Have they clicked out the spine?
What are you talking about?
No, you got that from the shop, bro. Stop lying.
Show us the receipts. Show us the receipts. If there is not any demarcation on the important parts of this, bought that.
No, bought. I can promise you.
No, don't promise us nothing, bro. You ain't got no receipts, fam. Come on, man. It's okay, fam. It's okay.
Would it be
totally fine?
Would I redeem myself if I pulled out a Wu-Tang Forever cassette?
No, you've got a big ghost hoodie on, bro. It's okay.
I need to see that you're not wearing a David Guetta shirt under that hoodie right now.
It's possible for my family that I can't show this because Chris actually bought me this. So I'm showing up for Chris here, but anyway. But David Guetta and DJ Premier is something that I need, and I feel like Kathy
I don't ever want to hear
that. Would
in my
appreciate
life.
That if she wouldn't. But anyway, go on.
I'd be open to hear it. Look, Premier, I really wouldn't. No, okay.
There's just something about Sean. When I speak to Sean, I've got to say the most outlandish thing possible, and I don't know what it is. But
have some
go.
Self-control. Go ahead, Sean.
Sorry.
Jesus. All right, we're going to move on to the what's my motherfucking name category. And this is all about names and proper nouns, we'll just say, in hip hop. So here's one. We're gonna skew a little bit more underground. Which of these actresses has not had an album named after her by underground rappers Merce and Slug's side project, Felt? So I'm going to name you some actresses. You have to tell me which one of these has not had a Felt dedicated
to her. I'm
going to
lose this.
Cool.
Is it A, Christina Ricci, B, Jennifer Lopez, C,
Jennifer Lopez,
Rosie Perez?
Is it? I don't know the answer to this.
It's bold without hearing all of the options, but you're absolutely correct. There was not a Jennifer Lopez. The last one was Lisa Bonet, who
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's something for everybody here. I'm really trying to go. There will undoubtedly be people who will buy this and have not heard a Felt record, let alone maybe they don't, or they're not super familiar with a Merce or a Slug. But my hope is not only to educate people who maybe have heard of, but don't know a lot, but maybe they'll also go. I mean, there's so much access now to everything that really you could create a playlist just out of all the artists that are mentioned here. And, you know, you might be a huge, Felt fan and you don't even know it. So that was another thing that was important to me in curating the content of this game.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to getting into it and just finding out my blind spots, because I'm talking crazy. I'm like, yeah, man, I said to my wife, I'm going to beat you in this game and blah, blah, blah. I'm just looking forward to, okay, what questions don't I know the answer to? I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Chris, can I ask you this question? Because I just pulled it one out of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
The proverbial hat. And I didn't know the answer to this, but maybe you would. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to what Sean is talking about. This bassist played on Young MC's Grammy-winning 1989 single, Busta Move. A, Ron Carter, Bootsy Collins, Flea, or Victor Wooten?
I have no idea, bro, but I'm going to just pick Bootsy Collins.
But no idea. It's Flea, but now what I want to do is go Google that.
Yeah, I need to know who this brother is. Why you just got one name, bro, Flea? It's like footballers. You know footballers with one name, Ronaldo. You take them serious, bruv.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho.
He's in the music video too. In the Busta Move music video, Flea is in the video.
The video. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Shout out
this,
to Young
this
MC.
This is edutainment. This is boom. This is boom. Yes, I'm very happy for you. Because this is for us, like, this is another way to go down the rabbit hole of when we would pick out not a David Guetta CD, But if we pick out a CD and look at the samples and look at who, and this is that, because there'll be stuff I absolutely won't know, but there'll be fun to play with. So there is something for everyone here. And I want to share something real quick.
Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead. Don't let me cut you.
I was going to say, look, none of us picked out a David Guetta CD. They just somehow randomly appeared in our homes and we don't know how they got there. But I think we can all agree that none of us picked it out.
I've got more.
Nah, he somebody likes some left field stuff, man. He's a weirdo, isn't it? But we love
what
him, though.
What do you mean?
You're a weirdo, bro. There's no David Guetta in my house.
Where do I start with David Guetta? Where's the jump off point? Like, I don't know.
Classic? What's he got? What's his quote? What's his hip hop quotable, bro?
Oh, actually, you know what? Genuinely speaking, this is a banger, right? And I'm not. This is a banger. When Love Takes Over with Kelly Rowland is a banger because it's Kelly Rowland. I have absolutely no idea.
I'm not even shocked, Sean. I was shopping with this brother. When we was outside, he was buying Disney soundtracks on vinyl.
Yeah, for my kid.
He's got a kid.
Like, it's for you on vinyl.
No. So like I've got Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Lion King. I gave my Lion King vinyl to my nephew because he's into Lion King right now. So I said, look, I'll buy you a vinyl and I'll teach you how to play it. But I will buy like all kinds of things. Like I will buy Bollywood soundtracks right through to, you know, stuff I like, which is like roots reggae and stuff like that. I will buy that, but this isn't mine. This isn't mine.
It's yours, bro.
This isn't mine.
I'm not here to shame anybody's music taste. I have a lot of things. There's no shame. All I want is accountability. I want you to have the David Guetta, and I want you to be like, "Yo, this is my David Guetta CD, and this is what I'm into." But no, there's no shame, Chris. Come on.
I want to share something with Sean real quick. Before I forget, Sean, thank you so much, like for real, for having us on the questions. And I have never shared this with anybody, but I won't say homeless when I did the questions. I had to leave my house. We had some problems at the house and I was living in a hotel out of a suitcase, right? Life was upside down, but I had to make it my priority. I have to be on the questions. I was walking down the street with my suitcase in my hand. I came and did the questions and I went back to the hotel after. I've never shared that, but that's how much being on the questions meant to me. So I want to say thank you because I know you don't reach out to everybody as well.
Wow. I mean, thank you. That's incredible. I had no idea. And I'll have to go back and review, you know, like I feel like your performance should be graded on a curve if you were dealing with all of that in your real life. I think you did pretty well too. So that's
14 out of 15. We smashed it, man. We smashed it, man. Come on, man. Hawk and Animal. Come on.
I've got to say, you know, as we round up the episode, being on the questions was definitely a highlight. Like that was a well-needed boost that I don't think a Lucozé could have given me. Wow. Right? That was a B12 shot and that was fun and that was exciting. And it goes back to what we were talking about, what I was saying earlier about how passionate we are about it, and that's our vehicle for it. That's you know, you get to a point where you just want to talk about rap music, or you know, you reflect. We're at that age where we're reflecting on rap music from an early stage. What people are saying, the outlandish, wildest thing that someone was said when we were growing up, to how we consume music now, and we're doing that whole gamut. And I think being on the questions was wonderful, mate. It was brilliant. I think it's the best decision we ever made, especially when we're talking about, you know, outreach. You know, I love The Vault. I love those guys. They do a great job. But being on questions was like, yeah, this is competition time. This is fun.
I felt official. I felt official.
Yeah, it did.
The feeling is completely mutual. I'm so proud and happy to know you guys. I'm such a big fan of all the things that you guys do collectively, separately, in the podcast world, outside of it. I feel like we are cut from the same cloth, and it's really an honor to have been on your show now twice. And I look forward to many more. And as soon as you want to, like, you know, launch this this party hotline concept of a podcast with Dart and Kathy,
that's what I'm saying. So I guess the idea is like we have a thing called Deirdre here, right? So this is like Deirdre. I've got problems in my life. And, you know, my son doesn't get along with his mother-in-law, and I've got this problem, that problem. And I feel like amongst us, we could have a really, really fun kind of Dear Deirdre concept or Agony Aunt Uncle concept where people can vent their frustrations or we can pick out stuff from the internet and we can dissect it, laugh on it, get pissed off about it and just have jokes. And I felt like, I feel, me personally, I feel the best people to do that, you know, outside of me and Chris here, because we would be facilitating it, would be Dart, Kathy and yourself, because there's a range of personality, perspectives and knowledge that you all have, right? I feel like all of you guys could be rappers, except for me, because I can't rap. I'm brown. I can't rap. But, you know, it's, I think you guys could do it. No, I like saying stupid stuff, right? So don't ignore me. But
I feel like this is, have you guys heard of like Dear Abby? I think that that's like the American version of
probably similar. Like people,
so, and this is, you know, if the listeners and viewers witnessing this, maybe you're witnessing us formulate this now. What if we did this where people like write in with their personal problems and questions and we will give them some guidance, maybe some lighthearted advice, but maybe to also keep it within the realm and the thread of what we are all connected by in the first place, we also provide a song recommendation that encapsulates the advice that we're giving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Let's cut this part out. This is IP.
No, listen.
This is fire.
Don't matter.
Put that's fire.
Yeah, it's like in my head, obviously it comes from 9100 Hustler, right? It comes from that. And we expand it in that way. Let's talk about it. I don't care if someone steals, let them. They can't do it as good as us.
I will be so wild on this hotline, bro. Like, people call me for some advice. You know, I'm not going to be one of those people. Oh, I really understand. I'm sorry to hear that happen. I'll be like, fix up. Yeah. Go and tell that woman.
Every song recommendation you give is going to be an MLP song.
Dude. Some guy will call in. He'll be like, listen, man, this girl left me. What am I going to do? I say, go home. Do some push-ups and listen to Downtown Swinger and don't call me back.
Listen to the OGC or something, isn't it?
Bro, all right, go and listen to Hurricane Starang. And listen to Hurricane Starang and fix up.
You know, cause,
that's me.
Because like, I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. I'm bored. Yeah. I don't like breaking atoms. I hate
when
the damn
interview
thing.
Right now.
Great. I'm talking to you. It's fine.
Okay, got it.
I don't like breaking atoms. I don't like the whole thing. I'm bored. Let's do some fun shit. Let's do something fun, exciting, liberating. I'm just saying synonyms at the point.
I think breaking out is fun and all of those good synonyms. We can do more.
Yes. The man has a wife and a child and he said he's bored. And he has a wife and a child.
I'm bored of the podcast, not bored in life.
Put that David Guetta down.
Yeah, man. Put it down, man.
Yeah.
Warm to you, man.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Is this going to turn off the rails?
It's fine.
This is gone. I'm sorry to the listeners and to the viewers. Don't forget to smash that like button because Chris hates that.
Keep all of this though, please. I don't want a clean version of this. Like, they need to experience all of this.
None of this is coming out. This is all staying in. This is all raw. This is how we do things, baby. But no, back on track. The train is on the tracks now. We are heading home. Genuinely, really, really proud of you.
Yeah, for sure.
And wish you all the best. I know I can speak for Chris when I say that because I can't usually speak for Chris.
Yeah, don't speak for me,
but
bro.
We are super proud of you. This is a great, great idea that's come to fruition. It's here. It's Hip Hop 50. It's the questions, hip hop trivia game that you can play with your loved ones, your friends, your family. David Guetta probably wants, you know, I'm pretty sure he loves it too.
Totally.
And yeah, man, this is something that you'll gift over and over again for different things across the year. Hanukkah, Christmas, you know, Father's Day. It don't matter. This is something that for everyone.
Weddings.
And I think you've done a great job, mate. And congrats.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'm just looking
at
the US
so
price,
much.
Man. $25. Damn, Sean getting money.
We'll talk. I can assure you. Yeah. It's available in many different.
Don't get sucked into that. Don't get sucked into his money talk. Yeah. He's a chatty
cut that out.
He's
I'm,
a chatty
I'm not
patty. He wants to be
I'm
in your
not
money.
Watching pockets. I've got two. I actually bought two.
I saw. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Two.
And you know, for everybody listening or watching, you can go to questionshiphop.com to order yours. It's available all the places that you get things. I believe that the physical distribution is probably going to start a little slower. I've had a couple of people say that they couldn't find it in some like Barnes and Nobles, but I do know that it is available to order online. So, you know, call the store before you go, unless you just want to be surprised by what you find. But yeah, do your Googles. Follow the Questions Hip Hop on Instagram at the Questions Hip Hop, at Questions Hip Hop on Twitter, because you've always got to have multiple names. It can never be simple. You need to make sure that you make it a little difficult to find you on any platform that you're on. And yeah, I appreciate you guys so much, and I hope that we can do this many, many, many more times.
Definitely. You know, all the best.
Word.
Let us know if you need anything. We bought ours from WH Smith here in the UK, who delivered on time, which is great. You can also get it from Amazon as well. There's plenty of choices. There's no excuses. But all the best, Sean. Thank you for your time as well. Appreciate you, bro.
Thank you. Peace.
And that was Sean Kantrowitz. And as Sean Kantrowitz leaves, my kid walked through the door and now crying because my wife has hastily taken her away. See, one door closes, another door opens. This is life in podcasting here at Breaking Atoms. Listen, I got a lot of love for Sean, as people will know at this point. The Questions Hip Hop game is sure to be a success this year, and I'm looking forward to playing it, Chris. I know you are too, with your queen. Mm-hmm. You're looking forward to playing it.
Come on. I can't beat her at Scrabble, bro. Like, she'll pull out Russian words, Japanese words, and she'll beat me, bro. I've never beat her on Monopoly. Just Mario Kart and the questions.
And hip hop. And I think that will, being her in hip hop, questions might like burn a little more.
No, it might be a divorce.
She's ahead too. Yeah, because no, she's ahead too.
She's ahead.
She's ahead too. So it could, it's, you know, being in Scrabble, like, it's okay, whatever, innit? Like,
she's
both
ahead,
good
bro.
At English and writing it. But when it comes to hip hop stuff, there might be some arguments off the back of that. So you might want to let her win a couple.
Nope. Life is not fair, and neither is the Questions Hip Hop. No.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that. I think maybe you need to join. I think you might need to join that hotline that we're going to start, the 1-900 Hustler type hotline. Damn.
The answer is no.
Right. So, okay, fine. Like I said, you can buy from WH Smith here in the UK and Amazon in the UK if you're in the States, Barnes & Noble, Hudson. Just go on the Questions Hip Hop website, Instagram page, Twitter page, and you'll find the links from there. And also do your Googles. Don't be lazy.
Do some work for yourself, man.
Do some work for yourself. But no, peace to Sean. You can follow us on social media at Break the Atoms. Break the Atoms. Chris's handle is at I'm Kinetic. Mine's at Hip Hop Chronicle. And if you're on YouTube watching this, you can smash that like button.
Oh, yeah.
I love saying
smash
that, by the way.
Smash that like button. It's so pathetic. Well, go ahead.
Subscribe, like, comment, tell a friend. We're on YouTube now, which is fun and exciting. But smash that like button, because I love when people say that on their YouTube videos at the start as well, and they get that little icon with the sound effect, ding. You know, that's golden. That's sound design at its finest for me. But smash that like button. I'm really, really sorry. I've gone off the rails in this. I haven't had dinner. I'm sorry about this. But we'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, peace.